today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, California has a message for Canadians considering a visit, and we tell you what group thinks Spirit is the best airline in the sky. Those stories next in the news.
In our Smarter Travelers segment at 11:20, we have a real ID update. And Mark asks, why can't we all just be a little more civilized getting off the plane?
At 11:35, we'll share 7 red flags about hotels that should make you run in the other direction. And we'll tell you how and how much it costs to stay at HBO's White Lotus Hotel.
Carson City is hosting a unique hike this summer from Nevada's capital city all the way to the Canadian border. More on this very cool way of promoting outdoor trails around Tahoe at 11:50.
We are positively delighted you are listening either live on Saturday or on the podcast during the week. Thank you for being a part of The Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Once again, Saturday morning, 11 a.m. or a little after, and it's time for another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for dialing us in. Good to see you, Mark. I see you're back from your trip to Kentucky, looking at horses. You decided that you weren't going to buy when we spoke last, but did you decide who's going to win?
We learned a lot about horses. I don't know if I can tell you who's going to win the Derby or not. We even learned about how they make horses, you know. it's quite a, you know, they pay as much as $1 million for, you know, their horse to hook up with the other horse and do their thing and create a baby horsey.
And that's why when a horse wins the Kentucky Derby, and generally it's a male. Not always, that they retire them and prepare them for stud service, because at that point the horse is going to be worth so much in stud service that it'd be pointless to race them any longer and risk an injury.
Can I just ask you a important question, at least to me? We've been on the radio here for a long time, and we have a fairly highly rated show. Is there any sort of retirement and stud service in our future, do you think, or...? No, well, perhaps not.
Well, I don't know. Have you ever won an international or world race, either in something or on foot? Well, particularly on foot, I'd say.
You know, and there are, I mean, we don't have racing in Northern California anymore at Golden Gate Fields. And obviously over recent years, there have been some issues with racing horses. But as they explained to us in Kentucky, you know, those horses are bred to race. And there's a lot of money there. So without taking a stand on one side or another, it was very interesting and very educational. We went to the Muhammad Ali Center, Ali is from Louisville. And, of course, he had as colorful of a life as anybody could have. If you ever go to Louisville, I strongly recommend that you consider going to the Muhammad Ali Center. Of course, you're going to want to go to the Louisville Slugger Factory and get yourself a souvenir bat and learn how baseball bats are made. And you can even, you know, if you have a teenage baseball player in your family, you can even take them there and you can arrange to get your own private bats made.
Wow.
Kind of interesting. Yeah, we learned a whole lot about bats. Louisville was a lot of fun. Lexington was a lot of fun. I'm off to New York City next Thursday. So Broadway shows in New York for me next weekend. Oh, yeah. It's a rough job, but someone has to do it.
All right. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Got a full show of good stuff to make you a smarter traveler. So let's get started. And as we always do at the top of the Travel Guys, we bring you up to date on what's going on in the travel news. And with the latest, here's Mark.
Yellowstone Tourism says that they were scared to death because bookings by international visitors have dropped off dramatically in recent weeks. But they say Americans are starting to fill the void, and the outlook for August and September is more positive than it was. People are also the calls, anxious calls from people wondering if there'll be enough staff in the national parks have diminished. Now, remember, the staff, the national park staff, is in charge of running the park. They don't run hotels and restaurants and things like that. Those are run by concessionaires who make a lot of money, and they will have enough people there, I'm sure, to serve you. So anyways, the good news is that folks are starting to pick up the slack there, at least at one U.S. destination. Hawaii, on the other hand, also has seen a drop-off in international arrivals for this summer, particularly Japan. But Hawaii feels like Japan is their best market to go after right now. Over the years, the number of Japanese people visiting Hawaii has tailed off. So they're going to go back and try to make that number bigger now.
Well, whatever we can get, seeing that the long-term projection right now is visitors down from a lot of other places. So,
well, and if and the other good news is, as we talked about this last week, we may see a little bit of price relief, or at least prices stop going up. Here's an interesting news item. Archer Aviation has announced a partnership with United Airlines to create an air taxi network in New York using Archer's electric vertical takeoff and landing aircraft. These aircraft take off and land vertically. The service aims to significantly reduce travel time between Manhattan and nearby airports, which sometimes can be up to 2 days.
Kind of like what we talked about not that long ago with Chris Elliott and someone else recently, that this is the first version of flying cars. But they're basically flying taxis, going to be used in a way to transport people, like you say, to airports and so forth, and certainly going to relieve some congestion. But I bet it's not cheap.
Yeah, and this article doesn't mention any pricing, so that you make a good point there. I'll keep an eye out, because that would be a good thing to know. Are we talking about, you know, a couple $100s? We come about a couple $1,000s. Is this only going to be for CEOs, or would somebody like you or I, who had an urgent need to get downtown or to the airport really quickly, would it be at all within the realm of possibility for us? Okay, U.S. and Canadian travel groups are standing together against policies that are hurting tourism. As we've talked about, international arrivals are off dramatically, especially from Canada. The coalition that includes the U.S. Tour Operators Association, Adventure Travel Trade Association, the American Bus Association, Canadian Association of Tour Operators, the National Tour Association, which my company belongs to, the Student and Youth Travel Association. There are several others. The coalition paints a grim picture for the days ahead for U.S.-Canada tourism. The tariffs that the president intends to enforce, paired with the induced global tensions, poses risks to the financial health of countless businesses, but also to the livelihood of people who live not only close to the border, but other places. In fact, California has also created an air commercial that they're airing in Canada to try to help Canadians feel a little bit more welcome here. Here's a listen.
The Golden State and Canada have always shared so much in common. Sure, you know who's trying to stir things up back in D.C., but don't let that ruin your beach plans. California, it's the ultimate playground. 2,000 miles from Washington and a world away in mindset. From our iconic beaches and national parks to world-class wine, food, and outdoor adventure, there's something here for everyone. Last year, nearly 2 million Canadians visited California, because here in California, we've got plenty of sunshine and a whole lot of love for our neighbors up north.
If you didn't catch it, that's a pretty blatant plug by the governor of a Democratic state trying to convince Canadians that if you're not coming to the U.S., that California isn't really part of the U.S. Mm-hmm. It's okay to come here. So 2 million people, that's a lot of dollars. So anyway, that's the governor's giving his best shot. Our friends at Travel Hub, who sometimes have some really good information, but boy, they have missed this one about as big as you can. Travel Hub has decided that the best airline in the sky, domestic airline in the United States, is Spirit Airlines. Wow. I didn't even send them a note. I thought this was so off base that, and you have to look at what their methodology is.
Right.
And their methodology is that 50% of the whole score of how they decided this, Spirit is the best airline, is based on baggage and departures. Spirit has a fairly low lost baggage number, and their on-time number is reasonably good. So the in-flight comfort and the cost of your ticket, according to Travel until, according to the methodology here that they used, Wallet Hub, is 15% of their score. So they have assigned baggage and being and leaving on time more than three times the value of in-flight comfort and the cost of the ticket. I will suggest to you that those should be reversed, that the methodology that caused Spirit to be named the number one airline is incredibly flawed.
I have to ask now, you mentioned Travel Hub. Did you mean Wallet Hub the whole time?
Wallet Hub, yes.
Okay, yeah, we've worked with them in the past. So Wallet Hub naming Spirit Airlines number one. Well, I'm glad you you gave us a breakdown of the methodology. Based on that, Mark, what do you think? Using that methodology.
I think they screwed this one up about as bad as you could. You ask anybody who's getting on a plane, they want to be reasonably comfortable, and they're going to look at what the price of the ticket is. So they're not going to look at the on-time record for the flight. A few people might. A lot of people wouldn't even know where to find that. Baggage handling, sure. I think it's commendable that Spirit doesn't lose as much baggage as some of their competitors. But is anybody really going to use that? No. They're going to look at the cost of the ticket. And Spirit has the worst pitch between seats of any carrier. It's if you're over about 6 foot tall flying on Spirit, good luck to you. They will have to surgically remove you from the seat when you get to the other end.
Well, you know, here again, Spirit is a small airline. They don't have carry nearly as much baggage as many, many other airlines. So, you know, the number of lost bags compared to the number of bags carried, you know, could be the reason.
Well, exactly. And the other thing it just is that Spirit is in bankruptcy. As we caution people, they're trying to emerge and become a private company, and they've gotten some cash inflow. But at the rate they burned through cash the second half of last year, that new cash is not going to last that long. I would repeat my recommendation to folks, unless it's your only way to get there and that's all the money you have, I would be very careful about, and you're flying tomorrow, I would be very careful about buying a ticket on Spirit Airlines. Their financial condition isn't very good. If you're a tall person, don't even consider it. Anyway, I couldn't resist the opportunity to take a shot at the Wallet Hub people there. They sometimes have some great information, and we have them on the show from time to time, but God, they screwed that one up about as much as you could. Travel and airfares this year in March of 2025 are down. Airfares are down 2%. Hotel costs are down 3.5%. Car rental costs down 8%. So traveling in March of this year is, at least according to those metrics, a little bit cheaper than March of last year. We'll see. Stay tuned, folks, let's see how 26 compares to 25. Speaking of which, a Washington border town has reported they're feeling a pinch from Canadian absence. Businesses in Blaine, Washington, which is just over the border in Washington State from Canada, are suffering as Canadian visitors dwindle. Gasoline sales at local gas stations are down up to 50%, and Canadian vehicle traffic into the county fell 42% in March. So some people are going to be in trouble when it comes to being able to pay their bills getting down the road. And the Olympic venues have been announced for 2028. Of course, Los Angeles is the host city. Carson, the city of Carson, is going to have archery. The city of Long Beach will have volleyball, rowing, shooting, and climbing. Anaheim has volleyball, Arcadia equestrian, Pomona, mm-hmm. Easy for you to say. San Clemente and South El Monte also have Olympic venues. So it's going to be spread out around Los Angeles. That's not until 2028, but that is your travel news for today.
All right. And we are the travel guys, Mark and Tom. By the way, I heard that L.A., you know, as most cities will do whenever they have the Olympics coming, they build stuff. They build arenas. They build special this, special that. They didn't build anything. They didn't need to. They had everything pretty much available at all these other locations that you just mentioned. And so they're going into it with not quite the kind of debt that a lot of cities go into when carrying the Olympics. All right. Just a quick reminder, Rudy's Hideaway, open for lunch every Tuesday through Friday. And one of our favorite places to count on if you want to have a gathering.
Yeah. If you let me just jump right in here. If you want to have a gathering, you need to call Rudy's Hideaway, call Steve, because that's what I did. Our trip to Kentucky, we are going to have a Derby Day party for the running of the Kentucky Derby in a couple weeks. And so I called Steve and said, hey, buddy, would you consider accommodating for us for this? And he said, sure, we can do that. So we're going to go and have what we call linner. That's the meal between lunch and dinner, because the Derby runs at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, Sacramento time. So, we tell folks on this radio program that, gee, you know, if you have a group or a special event or something, you want a really great meal, so that the folks at Rudy's Hideaway can help you. And I am here to tell you that the folks at Rudy's Hideaway can help you. I will report back on the event in a couple of weeks.
And I bet you clam chowder will be part of the fair.
Otherwise, we're not going.
Rudy's Hideaway, a great place for lunch, dinner, great place to hang out with friends. Don't forget, they're just off Highway 50, right there at Hazel. Live and direct, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Let's get it going, Mark.
Tiny bone to pick here. This happened on an airplane with me last week. Folks, when the airplane lands, first of all, don't get out of your seat and start up the aisle until the plane actually gets to the gate and the seatbelt sign gets off. Because you opening those overhead bins while the plane is still on the tarmac is not only incredibly dangerous to you, but it's incredibly dangerous to the other people sitting around you.
My gosh, you mean somebody got up while the plane was still moving?
Got up while the plane was still coming into the gate. We had just made the turn and were being marshaled into the gate. And so this couple had a very tight connection. Now, our flight was like 20 minutes early. So if you had a tight connection on a flight that was 20 minutes early, logic tells me that you should have bought a seat towards the front of the airplane and paid for it, because you wouldn't have had to run over 80 people. But this happens every once in a while. Either people who, their claim is they have a tight connection, or they just have you. I'm sure other folks who are listening have had this happen to them. Folks get up and they come charging up the aisle. Well, of course, everybody's getting out of their seat and getting into the overheads and stuff. And it's a really dangerous thing. So listen, if you need to get, you know, you have a tight connection and you have to get off the plane really quickly, then pay for a seat, an economy plus seat, and that'll help solve your problem. It'll save you about 6-7 minutes probably getting off the plane, which might make all the difference, and you won't have to kill your fellow passengers. All right, quick here, another update, a real ID. We talked about this a lot last week. A listener wrote me, Tom, to remind me that you don't have to have a driver's license to get a real ID if you have an ID card, because he mentioned seniors, some older folks that don't drive. Just have an ID card.
Right.
That will take the place of a driver's license to help you get a real ID. A real ID requires you make a physical visit to a DMV office. You have to gather some documents. You can download them ahead of time, which will save you some time when you get there, or take them with you if you don't know how to do that. But you have to get a physical appointment. The bad news is there are no more physical appointments at any of the Sacramento DMV offices, at least when I checked on yesterday. Until the 13th of June. So if you're planning on traveling between the 7th of May and the 13th of June, and you don't have a real ID, you've got to use your passport. There's another a list of other documents you can use. They're kind of minor and not very many people would have them, but it's worth taking a look at. If you don't have a passport, you can still fly. You can go to the airport. Our friends Dale and Sid at TSA in Sacramento tell us that the feds are serious about this. And as far as they know, there is not going to be any extension. So maybe there will be at the last minute if a bunch of people can't get appointments. But I think you have to assume that's not going to happen. If you don't have a real ID or a passport, go to the airport early. You're going to have to go through a little bit of rigmarole, just like you would if you left your ID at home before all of this happened. But you will still be, they assure me that you, if you can prove who you are, you will still be able to get on an aircraft. So you might consider throwing in your purse or your wallet, something that shows a piece of mail, a utility bill, or something that shows that you live at your address, that maybe is on your current license and stuff like. I'm sure we're going to get more guidance from the feds on how to get through TSA if you don't have it. But what I wanted to tell people is, if you have waited until now to start the process and you have to travel in May, you've waited too long. So if you need to do it, still go ahead and do it. If you don't, if you have a passport, wait until the dust clears and get your real ID later in the summer.
There you go.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair. A world of adventure, and we take you there.
Many of our regular listeners know that I am the owner of a tour company called Sports Leisure Vacations. And twice a year at Sports Leisure Vacations, we invite new customers to come and old existing customers to come and find out what we have planned for the coming months. One of those tour preview days is coming up on Saturday, May the 17th at the KVIE studios. We will have a morning and afternoon session. The morning session is full, but we have room for a few folks in the afternoon. If you go to travelguysradio.com, you can find a link there to the Sports Leisure website, and you can request information about tour preview day on Saturday afternoon, the 17th of May. You can join us for a couple of hours. If you're a mature traveler and you've heard a lot about Sports Leisure Vacations, this is your opportunity to come out and find out in person. Saturday, May the 17th at KVIE Studios. Advance reservations are required.
There you go. And we are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom. A quick question, Mark, about tour preview day that we're having here at this time of the year. As we mentioned about a week or so ago, that if you go to your online for Sports Leisure, you'll see that a lot of trips are sold out. And is this the time of the year that you add more trips for the rest of the year?
Yes, all of our holiday schedule, a couple of new trips for the fall, and all of our holiday schedule in the first quarter of next year, some of the major tours will be announced at this preview day. And how do I say this and not sound too egotistical here? Our trips fill up really quickly.
Yeah.
And so if you are a traveler who is not familiar with our product, the best thing to do is come out to preview day and find out a little bit about it. And then you've got the information. And if you like what you hear, why, you can jump on board right away. If you wait even a few days or a couple of weeks, in many cases, yes. We were talking the other day, we only have a few trips right now currently that have been announced that have space available. So we have a good following, and that's a wonderful thing. And I'm very appreciative of all the people who choose Sports Leisure Vacations.
One of the things that folks are always concerned about when they travel, and that is the hotel and their accommodations, where they're going to stay. Is it clean? Is it bed bug free? And the list of things go on and on. Mark, you ran across something that you call 7 hotel red flags that should make you run in the other direction. Let's talk about that.
This article originally appeared in the Washington Post, and unfortunately, I can't give you a link to that because it's a subscription only, even online. So if you go to, however, 7 hotel red flags, several articles will come up, and we have created a compilation of those articles to try to give you some things that when you're booking a hotel and you're online, these are things, or even if you're talking to them in person, or even if you get there in person, these are things that should be red flags. First of all, off-kilter booking sites. If you're going to a hotel booking site and something doesn't appear to be quite right, it's very possible that you've gone to a fake site. So make sure that when you go online, I always try to book at the hotel's official site, or I will, if I'm booking a Marriott hotel, I'll go to Marriott.com and then enter the location of the hotel that I'm looking for, and that will take me to the choices for that city or that region. So off-kilter booking sites can be a sign, not that necessarily that you picked a bad hotel, but that you're about to be had while you're booking the hotel. So be careful, because sometimes when you Google a hotel name, the first site or 2 or 7 that come up are commercial sites, which may not be the same as the official site for the hotel. So that's your first red flag. Next one is too many bad reviews. This is kind of an obvious one. In this day and age, a lot of people depend on reviews. Also, too many good reviews can be a little bit of a problem, because reviews can be AI generated now. But that's another thing to look at, is too many bad reviews or too many effusive reviews, people just falling all over themselves about how wonderful everything in the hotel was and not being very objective. If you read a review that says, wow, this was a great place to stay, we had a wonderful time, here's just one suggestion for improvement, that might be the sign that you've stumbled onto a legitimate review. Bad real life interactions. This can include especially making a phone call. In this case, these days, you rarely are going to get to talk to somebody at the hotel. You're going to talk to somebody at a central reservation location, unless you're booking a small hotel. And if you can't get, whether it's a big hotel or a small one, if you can't get them to answer the phone, or if you call the hotel and you get through and somebody says, gee, can you hold a minute? And you say, sure. and a minute turns into 10, that could be a sign of a couple of things. Maybe the hotel doesn't value your business. Maybe they don't have enough help to be able to answer people's questions and take reservations. It should be a red flag. If you walk into the hotel and the lobby is messy, or it smells too much like air freshener, or it has obvious maintenance issues, the furniture is falling apart, etc. Those would be another red flag. Of course, that's a red flag that you would get when you get there. Are common areas dirty, like the breakfast area or the public restrooms? That's another thing that would be a problem. Light bulbs out in common areas typically exemplify a lack of detail and care. When I am inspecting hotels for sports leisure vacations for potential use, if I go in and I find, and I'm doing a what we call a site inspection, and I find the lobby isn't too clean, the lighting isn't good because somebody hasn't replaced the burned out bulbs for a while, that would be a sign of something that might not be bathrooms that haven't been attended to, public restrooms where the garbage is overflowing would be another thing. If you're checking into a hotel and they don't request identification upon arrival, then that would be kind of a red flag. So some of these are flags that you would get before you get there. Some are flags that you would get after you get there. But all of them are signs of if you are talking to someone at the phone at the hotel because you've called to say, gee, is there a refrigerator in the room, and they can't answer your question, then are they leave you on hold forever? Some of these things are common sense, but it's amazing how many times people push these things to the side, then get to the hotel and say, gee, you know, the fact that I was on hold forever and they couldn't answer simple questions, maybe that could have been some clues, some red flags to the fact that the place I was checking into was not the best. We just stayed in the Brown Hotel in Louisville, which is a classic old hotel in downtown Louisville. The breakfast buffet there is probably the most amazing breakfast buffet in the country. And if you sat down, if your plate got empty or even close to empty, or your water glass was half empty, there was somebody there within seconds offering to fill it. The service was that good. So anyway, if you are in a situation where you need a hotel, make sure that you watch for the red flags that could get you in trouble.
Well, that's some great information that everybody can use when booking a hotel. You know, one of the things I've heard about is this place called the HBO's White Lotus Hotel. Don't know much about it, but I understand it's a little on the pricey side, Mark.
It is. It's an HBO series, and the White Lotus Hotel chain is not a real hotel. It's a fictional representation of luxury resorts.
Ah.
So, for example, the third season was filmed at a 5-star Four Seasons resort, and which charges in the neighborhood of $8,000 to $10,000 a night.
Ooh.
So that's for the big suite rooms. Regular hotel rooms are still upwards of $2,000 a night. So if you're looking at it and you're thinking, wow, that's real luxury, that's where I'd like to go, just know to go to a place like that probably is going to cost you in the neighborhood of a couple grand a night.
So what do you do with that? You know, I mean, there are some pretty extravagant places to stay and places to go, but I don't know.
That's a lot of money for a hotel for one night. But, you know, if you got money to burn, or that's the big thing in life that you want to do, it's at the top of your bucket list. You can afford to do it. There you go.
Hey there, it's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for coming along. Don't forget now, links to our special guest and all it's about can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Joining us today, Lydia Beck, Marketing and PR Manager for Visit Carson City. Got a big event coming up there at it starts one day, and 3 months later, it comes to an end. Lydia, welcome to the Travel Guys.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I found this to be kind of interesting. The headline says, Visit Carson City announces winning hikers set to participate in the Carson City to Canada Quest, each earning $5,000. Please tell the folks who are listening, if you can, in a nutshell, what the Carson City to Canada Quest is.
Sure. So the Carson City to Canada Quest was born from our first single track connector trail from Carson City to Lake Tahoe called the Capital to Tahoe Trail. And we were doing some press for the grand opening of the event, and our trails coordinator for the city, Greg Bergeron, said, I just think it's so incredible that someone can actually hike from Carson City all the way to Canada or Mexico, because this connects to the Tahoe Rim Trail, which connects to the Pacific Crest Trail. And I said, I want to see someone do it. And so the Carson City Canada Quest was born to challenge two hikers to hike all the way. We chose Canada to head north just so we had, an easier pathway for this to be, to bring this to life. And we had 350 applicants that came and applied for the quest, and we ended up choosing two, and they will be on their way in June.
Lydia, I have to ask you, what were the criteria? These two gals that that applied, what was it about them that chose you to pick these people to take this quest, to be offered a chance at this?
Sure. Well, we had... Part of the application process was submitting a 60-second video of why you felt you were the best fit for the challenge. So obviously the physicality part of it is necessary. We needed to have people who were physically able to hike that 1,600 miles from Carson City to Canada via the capital of the Tahoe Trail. But we also wanted to have someone bring us along for the ride. So we wanted them to have a storytelling capability, have a social media presence that we could tap into so that we could see what this journey is like. Because the thru hiking is such a niche, small community that you don't always get to go along for the ride. And so we really wanted to see what it's like to go starting in Carson City at the steps of the Capitol all the way to Canada. So not only were these two ladies physically capable, but they were wonderful storytellers and just incredible human beings on top of it. And they were wonderful to interview, and their submission videos were incredible as well. And so those were just some of the criteria that we looked at when we were choosing our candidates.
We're talking with Lydia Beck, from Visit Carson City about the Canada Quest, a 1600 mile hike. Now, obviously, they're not going to do this in one day or 2 days or a week. It's 1600 miles. So it's going to take a couple, 3 months. Yes.
Yes. It really just depends on how quick and how far someone can hike. And so we anticipate them completing within anywhere from 2 to 4 months. So we should see them hit the end of the trail by the end of October at the latest.
Lydia, tell our listeners how they can follow along and experience this, vicariously, probably by Instagram and YouTube, these two gals' journey.
Yes. So the best way to follow along and find all the information in one place is visit carsoncity.com/quest. And that will have our social media channels, which will be sharing Julianne and Audrey, our two hikers, their content that they're going to be producing for us. We're asking them to do an update once a week. And then we'll have a little pin on the map on the landing page telling people know where they are. It's actually very cool. Audrey, one of the hikers, is actually doing the full PCT and then coming into Carson City and then hiking and starting with Julianne at the end of June. So she's already on her journey, which is very exciting. So you can kind of see some updates from there. So I would say our landing page, visitcarsoncity.com/quest, is the best way to find all the information and the best socials for to basically follow along on.
Fun. We will put a link to your website at travelguysradio.com. So if you folks are interested, any listeners are interested in following along. And also, once the ladies start their quest, which is going to be sometime in June?
You would believe the end of June is when they are anticipating to start from Carson City and heading north.
Okay. So we'll remind you all when they get started end of June, and maybe we'll kind of follow along a little bit with them on the air here.
Yeah, we'd love that.
Lydia, I don't think we asked. What is the purpose of this? What is to be gained by the Carson City Visitors Bureau in your area for hosting something like this?
Sure. Well, the Capital of Tahoe Trail that opened in 2023, like I mentioned, is the first single track connection from Carson City to Lake Tahoe, which really opens us up to the world as far as, long distance hiking or short distance hiking. We really are in the middle of northern Nevada. We're the center point of that experience. And we have world-class trails. We have over 100 miles of trails in Carson City. And now that really opens up to Tahoe. And so we just wanted this to bring awareness to Carson City outdoor recreation, which is so plentiful, but the city itself in a really unique way.
How far is the trail?
We're a great destination.
Lydia, can I ask you, how far is the trail from Carson City to Tahoe?
Sure. So there's a couple different segments that get you up to Tahoe. If you want to start at the steps of the Capitol, like the hikers are doing, it's 16 miles from there up to Tahoe. But the new trail, the Capitol to Tahoe Trail, you can access via our Ash to Kings Trail, and that is about 10 miles from the start of the Capitol Tahoe up to Tahoe.
So if you're an active hiker, that is something that legitimately could be done in a day.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And many people have, and people love it as a mountain biking trail. So we're seeing a lot of use on the trail. Usually the snow is gone in July, and we've only had a couple of seasons where it's really been open. So we're really looking forward to people utilizing that and giving us even more feedback the more people to use it.
Awesome. Awesome. Lydia Beck from Visit Carson City talking about a 1,600-mile hike that two ladies are going to take starting in June called the Canada Quest. We will double back and check in with you, Lydia, when the ladies get started. If you'll mark your calendar or something like that once they've gotten started, let's tell our listeners about it and let them follow along. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Wow. I have a hard time hiking to the mailbox. Mark, have you ever done any long-term, long-distance hiking?
I'm not a big hiker. I used to organize walkathons for the March of Dimes back in the day when walkathons, instead of being, you know, first they were 30 miles to start with, and then they were 30 kilometers, and then they were, you know, 8 miles, and they've gotten shorter and shorter and shorter. But, I organized walks like that, but I was never foolish enough to try and make one.
There you go. Anyway, fascinating. We'll have to follow along. Look forward to some updates along the way. What else you got for us here, Mark, as we get ready to wrap up today's Travel Guys radio program?
I got a few little odds and ends here. American Airlines says they're going to offer free in-flight Wi-Fi if you're a member of their loyalty program starting in January 2026. All I can say, it's about time. United Airlines is also in the process of equipping its planes with SpaceX's Starlink satellite Wi-Fi. It plans to make its service free for members of its loyalty club, and that's coming right about the time that United is already in the process of outfitting the planes. So soon, before the 21st century is over, we will have Wi-Fi in the sky, and instead of having to pay for it, it will be free, which is my favorite word when I'm traveling, free. If you folks are driving around Sacramento this month, you're getting ready to start out a trip. God, this would be a terrible way to start a trip. It's Distracted Driving Awareness Month. The Sacramento Police Department wants you to know that they are looking for you. For those of you who are texting or using your cell phone while you're driving, cause of more accidents than anything else, Police Department urges all drivers to take simple precautions. Silence your phone and place it out of reach. Set your navigation and adjust controls before you drive. Keep both hands on the wheel and eyes on the road. Avoid eating, grooming, or multitasking while driving. These are all pretty simple things. Everybody grooming. They're just going to skip to the end. This is a good one, though. Speak up if you're a passenger and notice the driver is distracted. The life you save might be your own.
Wow.
You know, if the person you're driving with is on the cell phone and playing around and stuff like that, that would be a really awkward situation. But more awkward would be leaving the scene of the accident in a stretcher. So you might think about that. And if something urgent arises, pull over safely and call the person back or do whatever it is, you know, figure it out that you've lost, you're off your GPS or whatever. Anyway, Distracted Driving Month here in Sack of Tomatoes. So make sure that if you're in the city limits or anywhere else that you want to pay attention.
I recently upgraded my automobile to a 2025. A Subaru, I might add, from my friends at Shingle Spring Subaru. And it has a feature, Mark, that it sees your face. It recognizes your face. It knows who you are in your car. It'll say, "Hi, Tom," when I get in. And if I'm driving along and I happen to glance over one way or the other for any length of time, it will beep at me and it'll say, "Keep your eyes on the road."
Ooh, wow, wow.
And I mean, it doesn't verbally say that, but it'll put it on the screen.
With a face like yours, I'm sure it recognizes you every time. I'm sorry. That was so easy. I couldn't resist.
I set myself up for that one.
A couple other quick ones here. American Cruise Lines says they're going to do a transcontinental voyage, a 51-day tour commemorating the nation's 250th birthday next year. It's going to start in Charleston, takes passengers across the country before finally disembarking them in Juneau, Alaska. You'll board five ships. There will be at least two flights, so it's not all cruising. Includes a cruise that rounds the state of Florida, a trip down the Mississippi from Memphis to New Orleans, and a jaunt on the Columbia and Snake Rivers. American Cruise Lines, 51 days commemorating the country's 250th birthday. Bring your wallet. 51 days on a cruise ship will be, if that's on your bucket list, then bring your wallet.
Wow. Wow. Well, yeah. you know, people go on vacations, extended places, and 51 days. I don't know. I mean, it sounds like Chris Elliott.
Between you, me, and the fence post, no, not on a cruise ship. Not 51 days or 41 days or 31 days or 21 days or 11 days, maybe a day. Speaking of cruise lines, Hawaii has decided that here's a novel idea. Cruise lines could pay taxes just like people pay hotel taxes. Wherever your ship was moored, you would pay taxes. Of course, the cruise lines think this is the worst idea in history, but we'll keep you posted. Cruise lines are protesting against proposed Hawaii taxes because then they would have to pay just like the rest of us.
All right. Well, that looks like it's a wrap for another fabulous Travel Guys Radio program. Remember, visit us at TravelGuysRadio.com. Links to all the stuff we talk about, as well as a place for you to download, or better yet, listen to podcasts of our shows from the past. Mark?
You betcha. Remember to dance like nobody's watching. I'm off to New York City, where we will join you next week, live from the Big Apple. In the meantime, dance like nobody's watching and have a great week.